نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، from the many or rather from the hundreds of thousands of qualities that were granted to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one distinct quality was the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every week on Thursdays, we are reading through this third part of the sublime conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And for the past few weeks, we have been going through the masnoon supplications that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would recite or would teach the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in to recite, which pertain to traveling. And there are a number of hadith, number of supplications. Allahumma bika asulu wa bika ahulu wa bika asiru. Or amantu billah, i'tasamtu billah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And there are many more. And then supplication to be made for that person who is traveling. Fi hifzillahi wa kanafi, zawwadaka Allahu at-taqwa wa ghafara dhanbak wa wajjahaka al-khayra haythu ma kunt wa ayna ma kunt. Ja'ala Allahu at-taqwa zadak wa ghafara dhanbak wa wajjahaka lil-khayr haythu ma takun. Dua to be made after bidding farewell. There are three duas. Or rather one dua. Allahumma tu. And so on. The list goes on. Whilst traveling, if night falls, especially during those times, and even in this day and age, especially in poor countries, third world countries, when you are traveling through villages where facilities are scarce, this dua is such a blessing. Ya ardu rabbi wa rabbukillah. O earth, my Lord and your Lord is Allah. A'udhu billahi min sharriki wa sharri ma fik. I seek refuge in Allah from your evil and the evil that is within you. وَشَرِّ مَا خُلِقَ فِيكَ, and from the evil of all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within you. وَشَرِّ مَا يَدِبُّ عَلَيْكَ, and from the evil of that which moves upon you, which walks upon you. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ أَسَدٍ وَأَسْوَدٍ, and thereafter specifically I seek protection in Allah from lion, from snake, from serpent, from scorpion, ومن الحية والأقرب, ومن ساكن البلد, ومن والد وما ولد, and the evil of those who live in the towns, and from the evil of that which begets and what is begotten. Basically, I seek your refuge, O Allah, I seek your refuge from every creation that is harmful. So only looking at the supplications of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person can imagine how much he used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmu'in, who had observed our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a close distance, they say, كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهِ, that the distinct quality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during all moments. Every hour, every minute, every second, he was in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that even when asleep, he would remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His body would rest. His body would go to sleep. So his tongue would not remain in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his heart and mind would remain awake. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, Inna aynayya tanamane wala yanamu qalbi. My eyes go to sleep, but my heart does not sleep. So when sleep takes over the whole body, then the eyes close. So in aynayya tanamane means that the sleep overtakes my whole body except my heart and mind. My heart and mind remain alert. My heart and mind remains in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was a very distinct quality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every single moment of his life, he remained in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In peaceful circumstances, in circumstances full of comfort, in circumstances of fear, in the cave of Thor, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu feared for the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the enemy is at the mouth of the cave and it is not long before we are caught. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said, Ya Aba Bakr, مَا تَذُنُّ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا, what is your thought regarding those two, the third of whom is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. The Quran quotes our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, La tahzan, O Abu Bakr, do not grieve. Do not worry. Inna Allah ma'ana. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. This was the distinct quality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would remain engaged in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. He would remain in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And dhikr can be divided into three categories. One is dhikre lisani, the dhikr of the tongue. The other is dhikre qalbi, the dhikr of the heart and the mind. And the third is dhikre hali, the dhikr of the circumstance that you are in. Dhikre lisani, dhikre qalbi, dhikre hali. Dhikre qalbi means to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. Subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Reciting the Quran with the tongue, Suratul Fatiha, Suratul Baqarah, any portion of the Quran. Reciting Masnoon supplications, Bismillahi wa barakatillah, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. This is dhikr of the tongue, dhikr lisani. And for dhikre lisani, it is not necessary that the heart and mind is present also. So a person may be engaged in dhikre lisani, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his tongue, and he may be reciting any formula of dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. He may be reciting the Quran. He may be performing salat, which is full of dhikr. Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana walakal hamda, Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, At-Tahiyyatu lillahi, Was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. And his heart and mind may be somewhere else. But it is still dhikr lisani. It is still dhikr. Then comes the dhikr of the heart and the mind. The dhikr of the heart and the mind is that the heart and the mind is continually in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or for a moment, for 1 hour, for 1 minute, for a few seconds, the tongue is not engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is strolling in the park looking at trees, looking at flowers, or he is in the safari park looking at the animals, or he is on the seaside looking at the ocean, or during the night he is looking at the sky and admiring the stars and the moon. Or he is looking at the sun rising in the morning or sun setting in the evening. And at that time he is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart and mind. Allah is so great. Or a person is unwell. He is lying on the bed and he is very weak. And in his heart and mind he is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he finds comfort. he finds solace. This is the zikr of the heart and the mind. And the heart and the mind are connected together. It is the heart that does the work. But the work of the heart is felt in the mind. So the heart is like the computer. And the mind is like the monitor, the screen. So what you see on the screen is not actually in the screen, it is in the computer. If it was not in the computer, we would not be able to see that item on the screen. So sometimes when we are reciting the glorious Quran by heart, for example, when we are reciting the Quran by heart, and we get stuck, a hafiz of the Quran, or a hafiz of Surah Yasin Sharif, a hafiz of Surah Fatiha, if he gets stuck, then he puts pressure on his mind. He begins to think with his mind. And people normally tend to think that it is the mind that memorizes everything, and it is the mind that is preserving everything. But no, from the Quran and Ahadith we learn that it is the heart that memorizes everything. Anything that we memorize, it is the heart that memorizes. But it is, the heart does not come into action, it is not felt. I have given a very beautiful example of the computer. That if you ask a child that where is this written, the child will say it's on the screen. Whereas everybody else will say that no. When you switch off the computer, it will go away from the screen but not from the main computer. And it is for this reason, even in English we say that I am reciting by heart. Nobody says by mind. That is a sign that long time ago, people really believe that it is the heart that memorizes and not the mind. Can you recite it by heart? I'm reciting it by heart. I know this by heart. Nobody says I know this by mind. So the heart and the mind, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in the mind, and it is comes in the heart, and it is felt in the mind. This is zikr-e qalbi, the zikr of the heart. So zikr of the tongue is when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. And the zikr of the heart is when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart and mind. And how will a person know whether he is engaged in zikr-e qalbi or not? He will know when he can feel the remembrance in his mind. And sometimes the zikr of the heart can be so strong in the heart that the person can even feel the zikr in the heart also. He can feel that zikr in his mind and in the heart. Both places. And sometimes the zikr of the heart becomes so firm, so ground rooted, that those people who come in contact with such a person can also feel. They can also feel and they can also hear the heart engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The grandfather of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala. The father of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Hadrat Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He was the student of Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmood Hasan Deobandi Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Who was the student of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanutvi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And he was the first student of Darul Ulum Deoband. He was the first student of Darul Ulum Deoband. And he was in the first batch that graduated from Darul Ulum Deoband. Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmood Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala granted him the honor to become the Shaykhul Hadith and the head teacher of Darul Ulum Deoband also. So the grandfather of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he was the student of Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmood Hasan Deobandi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He used to mention his experience that sometimes during the lesson of Bukhari, those of us who were sat very close to Shaykhul Hind Rahimahullah Ta'ala, we would hear the echoing sound of Allah, 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 Allah coming from the heart of Shaykhul Hind Rahimahullah Ta'ala. So the dhikr of the tongue, dhikr of the tongue can have many stages. For example, a person, if he assesses himself, then he may find that in total, in 24 hours, I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 10 minutes with my tongue. Another person may come to this conclusion that I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 24 hours for 2 hours. So different stages. Similarly, the dhikr of the heart has different stages also. That a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart and mind now and then, like we all do. I am speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about his dhikr. And all of you who are listening to me at the moment, whenever I talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter your mind. And then in another stage, that a person is able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala majority of the times with his heart and mind. And then a much higher stage, that 24 hours he is able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart and mind. And even more higher stage, that he himself can actually feel that my heart is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One category is that the person realizes that he remains in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all 24 hours because his mind remains engaged. So if my mind is engaged, that means in my heart there is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have another person who is of a higher stage, that even he can feel the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his mind and also in his heart. With the pumping of the heart, he can feel that my heart is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, and their hearts are enriched with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the true remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those people who come in close contact with them can also feel that the heart is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have understood zikre lisani, the zikr of the heart. And we have understood zikre qalbi, the zikr of the heart and the mind. Now, it is not necessary that whenever there is zikr lisani, the zikr of the tongue, the heart and the mind will definitely engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Many of us find ourselves reciting the Quran and our mind is here and there. even those who have acquired the ilm of the Quran, the tafsir of the Quran, they recite the whole juz without realizing what they have recited. Our daily azkar, the third kalima, istighfar, durud-e paak, and then the adiyah that we read upon entry into the masjid, when leaving the masjid, upon entry into the lavatory, or before entering the lavatory, after leaving the lavatory. Many of us don't realize that our tongue was engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, it is not necessary that when the heart and the mind is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tongue should also remain engaged. No. Both of these can remain engaged in Allah's remembrance on their own. And this is also possible, that both of them can engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time. It depends on the effort of an individual and which stage he has reached. That person who has exerted much effort and his heart has become zakir, more or less, majority of the times his heart and mind remains engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he will engage in the dhikr of the tongue, then his mind will and heart will automatically come into action. But those of us who have not yet reached that stage, we may engage our tongues in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the heart and mind will remain neglectful. The heart and mind will wander off here and there. So one is zikri qalbi, sani one is zikri qalbi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to engage our tongues in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is the remembrance of the zikr that takes a person to the second stage, the stage of zikri qalbi, the zikr of the heart and the mind. And it is the zikr of the heart and the mind that takes a person to the third stage, zikri hali. Zikri hali means remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the circumstance that a person is in. For example, it is time for Fajr Salah. A person awakes from his sleep. And upon awakening, he says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama matana wa ilayhi an-nushur. Oh Allah. So he is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. And he also remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way, that I need to wake up and I need to perform my Fajr Salah. So even if he does not say anything with the tongue, his heart and mind is remembering Allah. Because when you remember Salah, you automatically remember Allah, that I have to do something for Allah. But he does not wake up. He goes to sleep. So for a moment, for a few moments, this person was engaged in zikre lisani, zikre qalbi, but he was not able to engage in zikre hali. And it is the third stage of zikre that is required. Zikre hali. That whatever situation you are in, you will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind you that what you are about to do is unlawful, so stop. And what you are about to do is either permissible or either desirable or it is compulsory or it is wajib, so do it. This is zikr-e hali. So depending on the effort a person exerts in this field of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will progress and reach the peak of zikr-e hali. And when he reaches the peak of zikr-e hali, he will not be able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr-e hali means that at all times, his condition has become such that he cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, that if he was to consume or if he was to intend to consume something which is unlawful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create obstacles and he will not be able to consume it. He will begin to doubt. And he will say, no, I don't want to consume it. So for people who do not exert effort and who do not make their hearts healthy through zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not keep their hearts healthy by abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not keep their hearts healthy by keeping the heart and mind away from layani, from useless and nonsensical things. Because whatever you see, whatever you read, whatever you hear, through the eyes, through the ears, it goes into our hearts. So those people who keep their hearts clean from layani, from unnecessary things, who keep their hearts clean from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a black dot appears on the heart. And those people who keep their hearts clean from evil traits, like jealousy, like pride, then their hearts reach the peak of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which then transforms into zikr-e hali. Then a person will never be able to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the zikr of the heart will be so strong that such a person will never be able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mere remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not prevent a person from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is passing by the masjid and azan is being called, nothing will prevent him from discarding salat. If his heart has not reached the peak of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is swearing at somebody and you remind him that fear Allah. You have reminded him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear akhirat. It will have no effect on him. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was the most pious in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine his level of zikr. He would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout his life. He would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every second of his life. In his heart and mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance always existed. He would not become neglectful for even a second. And this was the condition of every Nabi. And very close to the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam are the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. A person becomes the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he reaches this stage of zikr. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will also exert effort and reach this stage of zikr. And in order to bring us to this stage of zikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, with much affection, appealed to us. He's making an appeal to us. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. So we need to start the dhikr of the tongue with punctuality. Take the first step, and on a daily basis, let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the third kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, we will read this third kalima 100 times daily. If we are able to recite wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim, then alhamdulillah. Noor upon noor. Noorun ala noor. But the minimum is subhanallah walhamdulillah wala ilaha illallah wallahu. And 100 times istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And 300 times salat ala nabi. Durud sharif. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many formulas of Durud Sharif. The most beloved Durud Sharif to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one taught by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And there are many formulas taught by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most famous is the one we recite in our salat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. And the shortest that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us is وَسَلَّلَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّي. 100 times, 300 times salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis. And increase this number of salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood sharif, on Fridays to 400, to 500, to 600, to 700, to 800, to 900, whatever we are able to do. So in order to make our hearts dhakir, in order to reach the stage of zikre qalbi and thereafter zikre hali, so that we are unable to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to begin with zikre lisani. Zikre lisani. And my friends, my brothers, my sisters, all of you who are listening to me, don't become despondent. Don't become despondent. The child who takes admission in a maktab, the child who takes admission in a nursery, alif ba ta sa, A, B, C, D. The child does not think about reciting the Quran or becoming an alim. The objective of the child is to learn the alphabets. Thereafter, the child takes another step. If the child at this tender age was able to comprehend PhD, that this is what will be required of me to do PhD, the child will become despondent. So don't worry about zikre lisani, don't worry about zikre hali at this moment. And do not think to yourself that it is not possible for me. It is possible for every believer to reach the peak of zikre hali, to reach the peak of zikre qalbi. The only thing that is required is effort. And effort also easy effort. This is the beginning. On a daily basis, read third kalima 100 times, istighfar 100 times, and salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 300 times. This is number one, on a daily basis. Number two, thereafter, whilst walking, whilst engaged in in writing, in reading, in cooking, in eating, whilst lying down, whenever the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters our mind, engage the tongue in any zikr that you desire. So these five tasbihs, make sure that you carry them out. And thereafter, whenever you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engage in any zikr of the tongue that you are able to. That is number two. Number one, 100 times third kalima, 100 times istighfar, 300 times salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, whenever we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then read any formula of zikr that you desire. Ya Allah, even that is sufficient. Ya Kareem, that is sufficient. Ya Halim, Ya Kareem, Ya Wasi al-Maghfira, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Ghafoor. That is number two. Number three, all the Masnoon supplications that you already know, start reciting them. Before eating, after eating, before drinking water, after drinking water, before entering the lavatory, after coming out of the lavatory, before sleeping, upon waking up, when sneezing, when yawning, and try to learn more Masnoon supplications. One Masnoon supplication per week, or one Masnoon supplication per fortnight, or minimum one Masnoon supplication per month. And put them into practice. Number three. Number four, on a daily basis, recite the Quran. Because Quran is the highest form of zikr. The recitation of the Quran. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So recite a portion from the glorious Quran, beginning from Suratul Fatiha, taking it right to the end. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, it is a duty of every believer to complete the whole Quran twice in a year. At least twice in a year. Alhamdulillah, many of us recite the Quran in abundance during the month of Ramadan, but outside Ramadan also. Outside Ramadan also. Take the example of a person who eats 3 apples every day for 1 month. We have been hearing this right from childhood, an apple a day keep doctors away. And it's true. There are so many benefits in this fruit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apple every day, apple every day, apple every day, apple every day, or eat 1 apple every day, but on a regular basis. So a person reads the benefits of apples and he eats 3 apples on a daily basis for 1 month. And thereafter he does not eat apple throughout the remaining 11 months, or he eats now and then. So you have a person who eats apples on a regular basis, 3 apples daily for 1 month without fail, and for 11 months eat, don't eat, he doesn't really bother. Sometimes eat, sometimes not. And you have another person who eats 1 apple or half an apple daily for 365 days. Ask any doctor who will benefit more from the health point of view. The second person will far outweigh the other person in benefits. So alhamdulillah, reciting the glorious Quran in the month of Ramadan in abundance is very good. Alhamdulillah. It is beneficial. Lot of reward will be acquired. But the healthy benefits that a person needs to acquire, in order to do that, he needs to recite the glorious Quran, engage in zikr on a daily basis. So number four, recite the glorious Quran on a daily basis. It is recommended that each person should recite one juz at least daily. But if in the beginning one is unable to recite one juz, then begin with three quarter, begin with half, begin with quarter, begin with one ruku. Number five. Perform five times salat regularly. Perform five times salat regularly with as much concentration as possible. وَأَقِمِ السَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Establish salah for my remembrance. As a result of establishing salah, the heart will go a long way in becoming zakir very quickly. But Allah did not say that for my remembrance, perform salah. No, establish salah. That means perform salat with its adab, with its sunan, and with as much concentration as possible. And finally, number six, engage in dua. Dua is also remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Engage in dua. One is to just raise your hands and read the formula that you have set for yourself and which has become a passage of dua in your memory. So even without thinking, you can just go and say, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarak ya dhul jalali wal ikram, Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika, Allahumma hasin aqibatana fil umuri kulliha wa ajirna min khizid dunya wa adhabil akhirah. Like we recite at tahiyyat and durud. No. Whilst asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Arabic language, if we are not familiar with the Arabic language, at least bring this concentration in your heart and mind that I am asking from Allah and my Allah is listening to my application at the moment. He is listening to my appeal. And thereafter always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your day-to-day needs of this world and also the needs of the hereafter in your own language. That will connect your mind and heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, if we begin with these 6 points, which is the first step towards acquiring zikri qalbi and zikri hali, within months, and by the end of the year, we will find that yes, the condition of the heart has improved much. And inshallah, then we will progress even more. And we will also acquire this stage where we will majority of the times be able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will save ourselves from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when this becomes our condition, not only will we abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if our hearts and minds remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time or majority of the times, then inshallah our death will also come in the state of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I repeat again, number one, on a daily basis, we will read the third kalima 100 times, third istighfar 100 times, and Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Durood-e Paak 300 times. Number one. And number two, thereafter, after completing this course, on a daily basis, whenever we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will engage our tongues in His remembrance. Whilst we are cooking, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will engage our tongues. Whilst we are hovering, whilst we are walking to the shop, whilst we are going to the surgery, whilst we are going to our factory, our office, our school, our college, whilst returning, whilst shopping. Number three, we will recite the masnoon supplications on their allocated times. And we will try to learn more Masnoon supplications. And we will read more Masnoon supplications, inshallah. Number four, we will recite a portion from the Quran on a daily basis. We will begin from Suratul Fatiha and take it right to the end. Then again begin from Suratul Fatiha, take it right to the end. And number four, we will engage in Salah. We will perform Salah. And we will perform Salah with concentration. Concentration. And we will perform Salah whilst making sure that all the Sunan or Mustahabbat are also carried out. And whilst performing Salah, we will try to concentrate by thinking that I am standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am bowing down to Allah. I am standing in front of Allah respectfully. I am prostrating in front of Allah. Allah is listening to each and every word I am reciting, I am saying. Allah is looking at every posture of mine. And finally, dua. When we supplicate in the Arabic language, then we will bring this thought in our minds that Allah is listening to each and every word I am saying and I am appealing to Him. And thereafter we must always engage for a few minutes in our own language. And we must go to the extent of supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every matter, every insignificant matter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Anas radiyallahu anhu, if the strap of your shoe, or if the strap of your sandal, or if the strap of your slipper, if that breaks, then before going to the cobbler, ask Allah to help you. So we should learn to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every matter. For example, we are unwell. Oh Allah, grant me cure. Oh Allah, grant me cure. Before taking Panadol, we should say, oh Allah, grant me cure. Grant me cure. I remember my father, whenever taking medicine, he would say, Bismillah, Allahumma lakal hamdu, ya Allahu, ya Shafi. Bismillah. I begin with the name of Allah. Allahumma lakal hamdu. Allahumma lakal hamdu. This is the higher stage of sabr. That first you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those aspects of your health which are okay. So first you say Allahumma lakal hamdu. And then you go on to that aspect which is not well. And you say, Ya Allah, Ya Shafi. Bismillah, Allahumma lakal hamdu. Bismillah, Allahumma lakal hamdu, Ya Allahu, Ya Shafi. So first remember Allah, then take the medicine. When going to the surgery, ask Allah first, Oh Allah, I am going to the surgery. Make it easy for me to reach the surgery. And Oh Allah, make it easy for me to meet my doctor. And Oh Allah, grant the doctor the ability to diagnose correctly and thereafter to prescribe correctly. Because he is also makhluk. The doctor is also makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When going to the shop, Oh Allah, take me to the shop with afiyat. And Oh Allah, take me to the right shop. And Oh Allah, make everything easy for me and make those things available for me which I am in need of. And guide me to the right shop, right thing, right item, correct model. And Oh Allah, return me home safely. Oh Allah, when I return home safely, then Oh Allah, I want to see all my family, my wife, my children, my parents in good state. Oh Allah, keep them in good state in my absence. All the time talk to Allah. This is also a form of dhikr, form of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, once we exert our effort on zikr lisani, the zikr of the tongue, then thereafter zikr qalbi and zikr hali will automatically fall in their places. So on Fridays we normally try to discuss sunan and mustahabbat and the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the sunan of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and virtues of salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, things associated to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is an integral part of seerah. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform salah, but not throughout his life. Not every second of his life was in salah. He would give zakah, not through every second of his life. He would perform hajj, but not every second of his life. But zikrullah remained in his life throughout. Not a single second was void of zikrullah. In fact, we find in certain narrations that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, the very first thing he said was Allahu Akbar. As soon as he was born, he said Allahu Akbar. Or when he started speaking, the very first word he said was Allahu Akbar. And the last words that emanated from his tongues were Allahumma bir rafiqil ala ma'al ladina an'ama Allahu alayhim min an-nabiyina was-siddiqina wash-shuhada'i was-salihin wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. So his life begins with zikr, ends with zikr. And the sahaba say that every moment of his life was full of zikr. So this is a very, very important part of his seerah. And if this part of his seerah comes into our lives, then the whole seerah will come in our lives, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. All brothers and sisters are requested to engage as much as possible in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout their lives, and read Salat al-Nabi daily at least 300 times. It should be more, but at least 300 times. And on Fridays, at least 1000 times. Let us make this a target. And then increase it to more, inshallah. And try to bring into our lives as many sunnats of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as possible. And read the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. Every mu'min should read a few pages of the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at least once a week. And if daily, alhamdulillah. And every family should acquire this book that we are reading from, the sublime conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at least read it as a family once a week and try to put into practice whatever is read. Jazakumullahu khair.